Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, president of Aerospace Management System Institute in Lakeland, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 48th Annual Sudden Fun International Expo. It used to be called the Flight Center, the Fly-In, but it's now the International Expo, and we're here coming to you live and in the clear. And we're in the Central Florida Aerospace Academy building. Thank you, Mr. James C. Ray. He was the benefactor that helped bring the school, this is high school, Aviation High School, to fruition. And we want to thank everyone, including all of our volunteers, that helps bring these safety-related, safety-focused presentations to you, even during the event called Sun and Fun. And we take this opportunity to bring some of the industry icons and the well-known namesakes, if you will, of people that are the shakers and movers into this industry. And it's a very, very important aspect. It's what we do here. And our purpose is to bring this to you live and in the clear. And also it's available on our YouTube, if you want to pull it there, or pull it off our website, Florida Aviation Network. We have today with us a representative of SAFE, Society of Aviation and Flight Instructor, educators. Got it. The educator portion. David. That's a tough one to roll off.
Society of Aviation and Flight Educators.
Yeah. Educators is what that was the hang up, because we don't really always associate, David, the education side of the educators.
Yes.
And this is why we wanted to talk about the your program.
Right.
Your CFI program that is modeled basically after the original FAA CFI Special Emphasis Program.
Correct.
But you go around and you modulize this to go out to the FAA's, you emulate that, but it's the instructors, the master instructor, which is, you recognize at what, 25 years?
Well, yes. Thank you, Ben. The flight instructor, master instructor program is 25 years this year. And but yeah, Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, our focus is the CFI because they are the number one influencer in the industry. You know, there's a lot of focus on DPEs. I've been one for 25 years, but all we say is yes, no, as we were talking about. The flight instructor is the one who creates the product, and they are the one responsible for aviation safety. So the Master Instructor Program, continuing education units, is a way of keep learning as a CFI. And that models that for the pilot, because obviously when you get your certificate, there's going to be years and years of growing and learning and changing. So we created a program called CFI Pro, which was modeled after that FAA program. And the reason is you know, like when Larry Enlow and yourself and the other people at Orlando started it, it's a way to keep learning as a CFI. We all know that in our industry, with the acceleration of flight training, there can be a lot of pressure on standards. And as we know, every certificate in the FAA is a pass-fail certificate. And so people focus on the flight training standards and they use it as a training syllabus. And it's not, it's a testing document. So we really want to think about teaching way above that to a level of mastery. And that's why master instructors are, you know, a cut above the standard. Because otherwise, what would differentiate the brand new flight instructor from a person that's been doing it 25, 30, 40 years? So Master Instructor Program is a way of creating that kind of differential, being recognized, and modeling it to pilots. Modeling it as, because the CFI, again, is the influencer. You know, they, whatever they do, the student's going to do. We know that. We've seen that so many times.
I think that's called primacy, law of primacy.
Yes, I think that is.
I'm studying, too, because I do want to make it eventually to get my CFI.
Excellent.
All these years, people say, I'm surprised you're not already an instructor. But
well, you know, keep learning, keep pushing.
I'm pushing. My emphasis is going to be on tailwheel endorsements.
Excellent.
That's all I want to do. However, that being said, do you remember the when you take a test and, you know, there's an old adage, a 71 is as good as 100. But, you know, with you just barely squeak by, and it might be the second or third time that you've taken the writtens, and you just barely make it. And you have those that are stellar, and they knock out got a 98 first
yep.
shot. Are all CFIs created equal?
Well, geez, I think we've all had good ones, and we've all had not so good ones. And, you know, being the guy that runs safe, it's hard to, you know, be critical. But as a DPE, when an applicant comes to me for a flight test, sometimes it's very apparent that it's not their problem, that they had a difficulty because mm-hmm. they just weren't taught certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I just published a blog, and they come out every week, safeblog.org. But it was 10 essential things that pilots don't get. And the reason is they're not in the ACS. Mm. But as an example, when you get a private pilot certificate, you can fly daytime, nighttime, the whole country for the rest of your life. It's a huge privilege.
Mm.
But a private pilot takes off in New Jersey, and I guarantee they won't go more than 4 hours without refueling. We never teach young students how to work a self-fuel pump. You know, they never fueled a plane. Many CFIs I hired when I had a flight school don't know how to tie down a plane, fuel a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about maintenance. Oh, my gosh. You know, the things that can go wrong, they don't know. So, yeah, flight instructors, when they come out of one of those academies, Ben, it can be kind of scary because they're only learning from the person that was before them. And frequently it's the same person that just went ahead of them in the program, and they cycle around, and now they're a new
yeah.
instructor, and there's not the wealth of experience. So the master instructor program recognizes that kind of experience and excellence, and it allows somebody to define what kind mm-hmm. of instructor they want, somebody at a higher level of learning.
Well, it's almost like industrial incest.
In a way.
Did I say that? I didn't say that, did I?
You said it on the air.
Oh, my goodness. In front of the FAA. But no, and the FAA, they really do have a large, large task ahead of them.
Yes.
I mean, being the official, the regulators, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And they need a lot of help. And they're the first to admit it. The FAST team managers in the program, they love to get this help. And I know that you're very, very active with the FAA.
Well, the thing that, you know, they don't realize, everyone in aviation doesn't realize that the pass-fail thing, you know, the FAA is not in charge of excellence. They set the minimum standard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if the minimum standard becomes the target, like it is in the ACS, that's the minimum standard. If people are aiming at that, you know, it's crazy. They're mm-hmm. never going to achieve something on the level of excellence. They're going to achieve, like you said, the 71%. Mensa, right?
Mm.
As a DPE, I had an advanced ground instructor come in with a 70 on a test, and that means I, as a DPE, have to approve him, write him a certificate. He walks across the street. He's teaching today, and he doesn't know a third of what he should know.
Mm-hmm.
But that is part of the system. So it's up to industry to assure professionalism and excellence.
Mm.
And that's what we do at SAFE. You know, we're really pushing for that higher standard. Not like, hey, dude, let's get a 71. Let's move it a little higher, okay?
What are the requirements to become a patron of SAFE?
Well, it's a good question. You know, and I always say we're a 501c3, and we actually give most everything away. And I think on a previous show I showed the app. You know, I wrote the SAFE Toolkit, which is an app that I created as a frustrated pilot examiner because I would get applicants coming in without the experience, mm-hmm. without. So that's free. That's free to you. We have so many other things free. But for members, it's $45 a year. And for that, you will get a third off for flight. And we have all the resources. We have the weekly blog. Our job is education. We do have to keep the gears of industry rolling, so we do charge a membership fee, but we actually rely on a lot of our instructors. It's all volunteer. They're mentoring the young CFIs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a point I wanted to get out is, you know, the critical thing when you get that new CFI is to mm-hmm. keep learning. find a mentor.
And you you hit the nail on the head. You used the old M word, mentor.
Yes.
And, you know, did you were you ever a young guy?
Now, it's hard to believe, isn't it? Both of us.
I was always the young guy. I was a whippersnapper. Now I woke up and I'm one of the old guys.
Yeah.
And there's a responsibility with that.
Yeah.
With that age. And when I was coming up, I really, the older I got, the more I respected older people because they typically have more, they've been exposed to more knowledge, more effort. And regardless if they're, it's just by the sheer years, I mean, they've been exposed to more.
Well, and they've been humbled.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you thought you knew it and you found out what you didn't know. And I think that's the dangerous part I see in young flight instructors and pilots is they get that certificate and they have all that privilege and they don't always accept the responsibility that goes with it. You know, it's very easy to get in trouble in the air. Keeps moving.
Oh, it does. It does. It keep, you can pull over on the side of the road. And
negative.
Fix it. But this is one thing that I would like to get more involved with. And I've been talking with Bob Jex. He's, of course, he's a local FAST program manager, but we need to pay this thing forward.
Yes.
And if it's like SAFE, that's what you're doing. You're paying it forward.
Yes, and many, many people, Ben, thank you for saying that. I was just talking to a retired 777 pilot. He just got retired out of American. He says, what I want to do is teach. And I said, you're our man.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good hours spent, but now, you know, when I became a 141 initial instructor, and I remember the guy from the FAA, Lauren Dates, coming to me, and, you know, he said, this is how it is, earn, learn, return.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're in that phase, but remember when you get to be the old guy, it's return. You have to give back to the industry. Aviation is such a small portion of the population, less than 1%. It's almost like a little family, and we have an obligation there to keep it going. And, you know, we're in a period of great opportunity and growth now, but we have to make sure we don't lower the standards, that we achieve quality. Because all we need is a couple high-profile accidents, and, you know, the whole thing goes so very important to embrace professionalism.
Well, and the humble aspect. You know, when you're young, you're 10 feet tall, bulletproof.
Bulletproof, yeah.
Just give me an airplane, I'll fly it anywhere.
It's got wings, right?
How about check the weather? I don't need to check the weather. I'm going. So, but as you get older, you realize that, we're not bulletproof.
Mm.
And so that humble factor, it's kind of a blend to be a true professional aviator because you have to be very aggressive.
You got to be confident.
You got to be confident.
Certain amount of confidence, but then
without
you know it's
cocky.
the old Greek thing: too much confidence in your Icarus, and you fall from the sky,
and you get cocky. But it's how do we pass on this humility?
Yeah, that's tough.
And it's through example. I mean, you've got to lead through example. And there's a lot of folks, I'm sure, that hopefully the young CFIs see some of the old CFIs, and they say, I really like the way she did that.
Yeah.
I want to do that when I get.
Well, again, that's the mentoring and modeling. And, you know, if you want to be a good CFI, you want to be a passionate learner. You want to keep and you want to model excellence. You want to, by example, show how a good pilot. And I don't think I see that a lot, unfortunately, in many, many schools. So my favorite guy, Hobie Tomlinson, would always say, you know, what we need is a little adult supervision in some of these schools. you know, and it's got, like you're mentioning, somebody that's perhaps like John King talks about, you know, done it wrong a few times, and I was stupid there. You have to be humble enough to say, I screwed that up, I'm doing it better now, I learned something from that experience.
Yeah, and I don't want you to have to, there's
suffer
no
through
reason.
That. Yeah.
I mean, we don't really need to recreate the wheel.
Yeah.
Let's learn from it. But
there's
so much, and it's not just the CFIs. We're seeing it at 147 mechanic schools.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to use a term. I'm going to throw it out there to keep you from getting skewered. Puppy mills. The cookie cutter. And, you know, you just stamp them out. You roll them out. You take the money. You give them the certificate. They go down the road. Most of them really do care, and they're sincere about placement. They want to find, and I tell you, if you come out the other end of a school and you're not able to find a job, somebody's not done their job, because this is a target-rich environment now. They're hungry for pilots.
It's an amazing...
Mechanics. But just like pilots with flight experience, mechanics, mm-hmm. you don't just come out the other end ready to go out and work on an aircraft. It takes years to develop those skills. And flying-wise?
Yeah. Well, and I want to say that, you know, SAFE is not just flight instructors. It's mechanics instructors. We have plenty of mechanics schools that are associated with flight educators is in the maintenance side and the flight side. And they have the same exact challenges we do, you know, the puppy mill mentality. Mm-hmm. The key thing is to know your own limitations and to be ready to accept, you know, advice. And it's an attitude thing. You know, if you think you're a finished product, you're not going to be an eager, passionate learner. But we all know when you get that wet temporary certificate, whether it's at the mechanic level, the pilot level, or the CFI level, mm-hmm. or even the DPE level, you're a beginner. We mentor DPEs. You think the government gives excellent guidance at that level? Unfortunately not. Mm-hmm. When I got done with the school in Oak City, and it was very comprehensive, mm-hmm. full week, they gave me everything I could. Fortunately, the guy who I got my champ from, he was a DPE, and he, you know, said, this is how it works, and this is what we're looking for, and, you know, here's where you can get in trouble, son. The little dope slap. You got to learn from your elders in this business.
You just brought a flashback. I had the opportunity here on this airport to talk with Bob Hoover.
Oh, my
back
goodness.
Many, many, many years ago. And you know how Bob, I can't emulate Bob's mannerisms, but he just always, man's got to know his limitations.
Well, Sean Tucker actually told me that Bob Hoover went to him when he was doing his, Harrier flyby, and he said, Sean, you got to leave yourself a little more margin there. And I think, you know, both of those gentlemen are highly professional, but this is a case of mentoring. Sean was good enough to listen to it. Bob was good enough. But that is the heart of our business, is a person-to-person sharing of that. You got to be ready to talk. You got to be ready to listen. So we at SAFE have a mentoring program. Mm. It's a very well-articulated program. And I got to say, even here at Son of Fun, I signed up a new member. I won't share his name, but he learned on this Lakeland Airport at the Ray School and went through that program. And he walked into SAFE and he said, I have only 10 hours as dual given, and I really want a mentor. And I'm like, shook his hand. What a great attitude. I think they're doing amazing work here at this airport when I get a candidate like that.
Well, I was just talking today with Melody, wife, about there's a one-letter word that we'd like to get out of this business, particularly to be a good mentor, is the word I. Mm. The more people talk about me and what I've done and what I can do, they're not really exuding
the proper attitude.
If people are going to be listening to you, they know where you've been, what you've done. You don't have to tell them.
Yeah.
How are we going to develop that, David?
The humility. When I gave the seminar this morning in the forum, I pointed out that as a CFI, you actually have two certificates. You have a pilot certificate, and then you have a CFI certificate. Very different skill sets. The pilot is kind of aggressive, you know, straightforward. Maybe binary in terms of their attitude toward getting things done and pushing forward. But a CFI has to have emotional intelligence. They have to share. They have to be a team player. All of those attributes are going to be much more successful in a professional career when you're in a crewed environment. Mm-hmm. So all those things have to be developed in a person that was previously focused on themselves as a pilot. You become a CFI, you have to be a compassionate coach. That gets away from the I, the focus on the me. As they say, there's no I in teams, right? And so to be successful in aviation, you have to be a team player. You have to share.
And showing by example, again, I'm going to roll back into that. Rather than telling somebody, I want to see you do it this way.
Anyway.
Let's just make it, rather than I want to see you do it this way, have you thought about trying it this way.
Yeah, that's a much better way to approach it. Yeah.
I interrupted you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to get to the point of that CFI Pro program. You know, again, it's going back to that FAA, what was it, enhanced? Special Emphasis Program. Yeah, I came back years ago and went to that in Orlando, and what a successful program. Reduced accidents by 60% in 2 years. SAFE said, okay, let's work with that. We created CFI Pro. We now travel that to flight schools, and we will come in and we will train your CFIs. It costs you nothing. Mm. We give an in-service program, and it's an active sharing of that sort of, you know, experience and excellence that guys develop, or guys and gals, after years of teaching. If you can pick that up as a young instructor, you've just moved yourself years ahead. So CFI Pro program.
You know, David, I've got to I have to apologize. I was trying to steer you the wrong direction.
Uh-oh.
CFI Special Emphasis Program, and we had a patch. Mm-hmm. Gabe Bruno was the office manager at the time. And he said, I want a patch. I want to be able to
hand these out.
And we want to display this. But it's Enhanced Safety Program.
Oh, that's what
ESP.
It was. Yeah, we were just...
SEP, ESP, ABC,
Enhanced Safety,
FAA.
Yeah. Well, who's going to argue with that? Enhanced Safety Program.
Enhanced,
but the proof is
program.
In the pudding. When that thing came out, and 2 years later, we'd reduced accidents by 60%. I mean,
yeah.
We, unlike the FAA, cannot mandate that people take that program. You could say, every CFI is coming into the office, we're going to retrain. But SAFE's offering it for free. We're, again, not-for-profit, 501c3. We will come to your school and give that program.
Well, here is something that I'll share with you that Obi and I have tried to implement. But, you know, all of the programs that we offered back when we were with the FAA, they were free.
Mm.
And I said, Obi, you know how we can get our attendance up? Charge. Charge. Well, we can't. FAA, there's always different ways to. Your admission is to bring someone under the age of 12.
Uh-huh.
And that is your ticket to get into this program. And also, if a program is free, and say, yeah, I want to go to that program next week.
Mm.
And, well, how much does it cost, honey? Oh, honey, it's free. Don't worry about it. If it was $50, I've already paid my $50. I can't miss it.
Yeah.
I've got to go. I've already got my ticket.
You're right. There's
not,
a real psychological impediment to free.
Yeah. A value. And if something's free, they don't associate a value to it. And
yeah.
So we got to come up with a different way to couch this and to package it. But I kind of like bringing, you know, under the age of 14 or 15.
Bring a learner
whatever.
With you. Yeah, you know, and I think I want to touch on the WINGS program, because that's an excellent program for pilots that's underserved and underrepresented. Paul Berger and the WINGS Industry Network is really working hard to revitalize that program. And they even have an app that's going to roll out at Oshkosh, mm-hmm. where you touch and you can validate an activity as a DPE or as an instructor. So I think that's undervalued because it's free.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a great amount of content, and it's a little bit of a, you know, hard to work website, but the data in there is great. The real problem in today's market is all the free YouTube stuff, which can very often be kind of detrimental and negative. It's not great stuff.
Yeah.
So you really have to look at what your source is. And anything from AOPA, Air Safety Institute, or the WINGS program has been curated, and it's very solid, good knowledge. You don't want to get into some of that.
It's been professionally filtered.
Excellent term, yeah. Somebody's looked at it, somebody's curated it, and...
David?
Yes, sir?
Try not to get too excited.
Uh-oh.
But I want to let you know, sitting in that very seat a couple days ago was Paul Berger.
Paul Berger is a passionate promoter of WINGS.
And you can see it, he just exudes just...
Oh, man.
He sincerely, and he puts his money where his mouth is.
Well, you know, we got together in New York, and he said, David, what can we do to increase the activity in the WINGS Pro? Should we give headsets? And I said, dead presidents always work. So if you're a CFI and you enroll people in the WINGS program, you can win a lottery. You can win actual money from, and Paul has invested heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the first time. Paul's been after this for 20 years. He lost some close personal friends. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, he's very committed to aviation safety. And the best venue is the WINGS program. It's solid training.
And proficiency, and just being part of the industry. And I know some folks, we probably all know of people that have, that were active at one point, and now they're not active.
Mm.
Something happened, either, you know, life problems, or just
sometimes
society.
They scared themselves, you know?
Yeah.
That is a big,
yeah.
you know, but it's
But they come back.
Yeah, but it's a bigger word that we use in its current in the FAA, safety culture. If you share that culture, and the one thing that gets me about pilots, I mean, they're very insular, independent people, but if you have a friend that's not doing something that's exactly safe or right, you really owe it to them to put your arm around them and say, you know, we could be doing this safer and better. We don't want to lose you. Dr. Bill Rhodes did a study of scary pilots, and I would encourage everyone to look that up if you haven't seen it. But if you're on an airport and you see someone doing something that's not safe, and we've all been there, it could be mechanical, it could be, a technique.
Absolutely.
Bring them into that safety culture and say, we'd like to have you around a little longer. And the current trajectory is not a good one.
You're on the wrong path. Really bad could happen here.
Yeah,
And we will develop this. You, Bob Jackson, and we were talking about when you reach that stage, either for your maintenance skills or your piloting skills, that it's time to back off.
If you're timed out, as we say.
What do we call it? Rest your wings?
Yeah.
Rest your wings program. To go out with some dignity rather than just taking somebody that's been a DPE for, say, 44 years and just putting a reject when they put in their application.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a way to let's
gracefully
talk about
gracefully
with
retire
some honor, rather than just reject.
And that's the FAA system doesn't always gracefully do that, and we need to fix that.
Well, who runs the FAA system?
Well, I guess there's people
in government. Taxes? You pay taxes?
Affirmative.
Okay, I pay taxes. So let's put our tax dollars to work, and society and the industry is going to have to help drive the FAA. And so many times we all fall prey to it. And I'll go back to when I was giving presentations, I would ask the question, does anybody pay taxes here?
Yeah, you're the ultimate payer of the, I know you were FAA and there's some animosity with other alphabets, but I'm a big believer in AOPA, and they really do put the force back into it and work with government to make change. So we recently surveyed our SAFE population. I couldn't believe 93% were AOPA members. They do go to government, and they do put the pressure, to make changes. The SAFE system is, we have also held, the Flight Training Symposium. Mm-hmm. That's how we got the ACS created. When I was originally examiner, it was skill and knowledge. And if somebody was completely, risk averse, they were a risky person, they could still be certificated as a pilot. There was nothing in the standard that allowed us to adjudicate that. Now it's skill, knowledge, and judgment, risk management, much more solid. So it shows how change can occur. But, what does it take us, 6 years to get that done?
Well,
it's not quick.
No, it's not. But but I tell you, I'm encouraged with what I hear.
Yeah.
And we've got to constantly strive to do better and better and better.
Yeah.
And we got to show the folks how to do it.
Well, I'll tell you, safety sells. SAFE has grown. We've doubled twice in the last 4 years in terms of membership. We're at like 5,000 people almost. That is a good show that people do support that. And I got to tell you, in both your personal life and in society, we have to be safe. We have to really manage risk, because people in our society are just very risk averse anymore. Mm-hmm. Back in Ernest Gann day, they were crashing an airliner every week, and people would still get on airliners. That would not happen anymore. So we really do have to clean up our house.
Yes, we are. I can see it.
The data is supporting. It's coming down and down and down. But,
we
can do better.
Quality of our educators is really the... It's the foundation, I think.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. That's exactly where it lies.
David, we're going to wind it up.
Thank you, sir.
Anything else you'd like to share with us?
No, I would encourage anyone that's seeing this in the clear all over the, especially at the show, come by our booth, 8586, join SAFE. One offer everyone likes is a third off your four flight. We have CFI insurance. We're running a raffle with a headset and an oxygen system. Anything we can do to get you in the door, because we work really hard to break even as a not-for-profit.
I like it. Well, David, thank you very much for joining us here. We're going to sign this one off.
Well, thank you,
sir. And this is where I see that tally light come back on camera number one. And this is where I say to the populace, thank you for joining us here at the 48th Annual Sun and Fun International Expo. I'm Ben Coleman, your anchor host for the Florida Aviation Network. We'll see you at the next interview.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.